haste you to go. And on your way there, he steps in the way to kill you. Because you had neglected one important detail, and that was to circumcise your sons to make sure that the sign of the covenant was in their flesh. Amen. And once he did that, he said, now you can continue with the assignment. And when he got there, of course, God had 10 little gods, demigods to deal with. Because every one of the plagues was connected to one of their concepts of a god. And he wanted to show them how powerless their gods were and how that he really was the true and the living God. And after the 10th plague, when he dealt with the firstborn, and this issue of the firstborn is important, and that would take really several months to explain in itself, but he saves the firstborn of Israel by the blood of the Passover lamb. Amen. And they ate the lamb. And Dr. Agin used to say, guts, feathers, and all. They ate the whole lamb. And when they came out delivered, and now they're free. But because they don't have a body of working knowledge in them, they don't yet know how to be free. And so what they must be taught, first of all, is the issue of identity, who they really were. Because if you don't know who you really are, then you won't know how to behave.
That's right.
And so in the third month, they came out the first month. In the third month, and this is where Exodus 19 begins, verse 3 to 6. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, give these instructions. Everybody say with me, instructions.
Instructions.
You see, that's what we desperately need, the family of God. To the family of Jacob, announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That is always the mission of God, to bring us to himself. Because when Adam walked away as every man walked away in that instance. And so now, in the person of Jesus Christ, what God does is bring us back to himself. And we see here the beginning of this idea. I'm bringing you to myself. Yeah. Peter said it this way, that Jesus died in order to bring us to God. Yeah. So now that we're brought back to God, God said, I brought you to myself. Now, if you will, hear that word is again. Yeah. Obey me.
Yeah.
And keep my covenant. That's what they were to be. An obedient people that kept the covenant of God. That was to be the foundation of their relationship, the foundation of their culture, the foundation of all activity among them as a nation.
Yes.
Was obedience and keeping the covenant. And the thing that eventually got them cast out of the land is the fact that they disobeyed on every turn almost, and they violated the covenant every opportunity that they had, and they began to live like the nation states around them, whom God did not call to be covenant people, but he called them to be the model of what a covenant is. So he's saying to them here, now notice here that this is conditional. If you will obey me and keep my covenant, this is who you will be. You will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples of the earth, oh God. For all the earth belongs to me. So this idea that the devil was ever in charge of the earth was nothing but fascination, nothing but an illusion. You see, the only way that it ever becomes real is that if God's people begin to say it's real. Talk to me, children. But God said, all the earth belongs to me. And then later the psalmist picked it up and he said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He did not qualify that they as a certain people. Is everybody haven't awakened yet? That's why we preach the gospel.
That's right.
To wake them up.
That's right. Yes, Lord.
He said, you will be my kingdom of priests.
Yes.
In my holy nation.
Yes.
This is the message that you must give to the people of Israel. And what happens here is that I call this vision casting. Certifying your identity. Before you ever get fully engaged. It is like what the Father did with Jesus Christ. He affirmed him. He hadn't preached not a single message. He hadn't taught anything. He hadn't produced not even one miracle of healing. Nothing. And what the Father did was affirm him. So what Jesus worked out of was the position of affirmation rather than working to get affirmed. You see, a lot of times we do stuff and we hope that somebody will finally approve us and say, yeah, that a boy, that a girl, you did great. But the true reality of sonship is Father's approval, and then we began to release and produce the kingdom of God in the earth. And we see this in almost a sample, a model here. God is telling them exactly who they are. Now, what they must do at this point is believe exactly what God said to them. Because, you know, they could have walked around for the next 40 or 50 years or even the next 100 years and said, you know what? We used to be Pharaoh's bondmen. We were Pharaoh's bondmen. Do you realize that we were Pharaoh's bondmen? We're going to tell every generation we were Pharaoh's bondmen. I'm going somewhere with this. You can talk about every day of your life. You could talk every day. We were Pharaoh's bondmen. And you know what your words will do? It will lock you into that condition. Now, what happens when you rise up in agreement with God and say, this is who I really am? God said, I'm special. Now, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, because you know all those nicknames that we grow up with, knucklehead, cheesehead, all kinds of things, crazy eyeballs. Come on, you know all those crazy nicknames that we grow up with, and you carry that stuff into the future. There was one young man, his dad, before he came into Christ, he was known as Slick. Now, come on, you know, whenever anybody get the nickname Slick, what that's all about. And so, you know, they all were laughing about it, and I didn't laugh too much.
Come on, come on.
I said, because if you're still known as Slick, I can't trust you. I said, and being that I'm going to trust you, I'm going to spiritually assassinate that name Slick today.
Right now.
We're going to deal with this today. You will not be known by Slick anymore. It's like when God came to Jacob, you know, and dealt with him when he was by himself. The Lord said, what is your name? And he uttered his name. See, all he was looking for at that point was acknowledgement that this is who I am. This is who I've been. This is the way I've operated. He said, good, I've been waiting to get you to this point. Now your name no longer will be called Jacob, but you will be now known as Israel. But if you look at the next chapter, it said, then Jacob journeyed. He didn't immediately walk in the change of name or the change of nature. But once Rachel died, the one that he loved the most, then at that point, that's when it said Israel journeyed. You see, a death took place and it worked into really the fabric of his being. It awakened something inside of him to where he realized for the first time, listen, I'm really not Jacob anymore. That wasn't just a figment of my imagination. What took place at the brook called Jabbok, or the place where God will pulverize your soul, and no longer can the soul rule over the spirit and therefore rule over the body. Yeah, that thing was real. That was the crushing hand of God that touched my thigh, or touched the strongest area in my physical body to produce a change. From there, he was a different man. And what God is telling them here, because he said to Abraham, I'm going to produce a great nation out of you. But if you will here, permit me, they can't be thinking like slaves. Can't be still speaking as though they're under the hand of Pharaoh and he's